Hi, Chase. We're on a bonding exercise right now. And you can see that it's probably not working very well. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Last week, we went through a very familiar passage, verses 105 through 112, about how God's Word can light our way. We need to understand that the light of God's Word can guide us, and we need to be on God's path of life and to let Him direct the path that we take. So in verses 105 through 106, we see that God's Word guides us. It makes a path followable to the end. God gives us the light for one more step. We're supposed to walk in faith. He's supposed to not worry about what's going to happen long term. We worry about what's going to happen today. We need to be awake for today. And so light enough for the next step. We only know the end of our path in this life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. But we need God to direct our path. And God's going to give us the grace and truth to do that. Don't worry about tomorrow. Walk in the today. Amen. And then the last thing is, it's not necessary to see beyond what God reveals to us. There's all sorts of things. God spoke to me. God did all. No, we just need to know what He's going to do for us today. I know what He's going to do for us for eternity. Right. Okay? And that gives me hope. And that gives all those who believe in Him hope. But for today, just live for God. And tomorrow, let's live for God. And for Friday, let's live for God. Next week, let's just live for God. Oh, by the way, we have a prayer meeting tomorrow night. Yes. 7 o'clock. So, God's Word makes the path followable to the end. God's Word is our reference point. When you run a race, you fly an airplane, you sail a boat, you drive a car, especially in San Antonio, you need a reference point, okay? The psalmist basically commits to follow God's Word. He continues to follow God's Word, and he considers the reference point of God's Word. You know, God's Word is everything that we need for life and godliness. Then, last week, I missed the first two points of this, so here they are. In 107 and 110, we see that God's Word guards us when revived from having affliction. In verse 107, and then there's other follow-on verses that we quoted last week. And then, and number two, when rejoicing after deliverance. You know, it's good to rejoice. But that needs to be God-controlled too. Everything in our life needs to be Holy Spirit-controlled. And then third, when risking it all. In 109, he says this. He says, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." He's willing to risk it all. Think of the early disciples. They left home, they left lands, they left jobs, they left everything, and risked it all for God. You can't risk enough for God, amen? Because He gave His all for us. So we need to have God's Word will guard us when risking it all. And God's Word will guard us when we're recognizing the temptation that there are traps out there. If you don't think that people are setting traps for you, you're naive. You're ignorant. Okay? That's acting foolishly. There are all sorts of traps over there. And so we need to understand the wicked have laid a snare for me. Yet I erred not from thy precepts. Keep God's Word in your mind. Keep it in front of you all the time. Let it light your next step. So we see that God's Word guards us. And then lastly, in verses 111 through 112, God's Word gladdens us when we embrace it. Everything about God's Word, it's the truth. It's there. We have a choice to follow it. We have a choice to read it. We have a choice to put it, memorize it. We have all the choices to meditate on it. It's our choice. We need to embrace it. Then we need to enjoy it. And we'll see that God's Word works when we employ it. So we close with walk in the light of God's Word. So tonight, the 15th stanza is rejecting or accepting. We're going to be looking at verses 113 through 120. It's the 15th stanza. And here's the point. For us, we need to reject what God rejects and respect what God respects. We need to have a God view of the world. We need to have a biblical world view. So, Micah 6:8 says this. This is what God expects us to do. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And it's a question. It's a question that we all are asked. Are we doing that? Are we accepting that as our mission, or are we rejecting that? So the letter this week is Samic. Now the way Psalm 119 works, is that every verse in these stanzas begin with the letter of the alphabet that we have here. So every one of these verses is starting with the letter Samic. Now Samic means to prop up or to support. We're going to see that tonight about how the word is propping up and upholding the psalmist and supporting him in times of trouble and all those things. So that's where Samic comes from. In verses 113 through 120, it says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up. There's the Samic part, okay? And I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. So there's four parts about this tonight. The first part is found in verses 113 through 115, where the psalmist has found refuge in God. In verse 113, we see that the psalmist has a firm commitment to the Word. Folks, we can't enjoy God's Word. We can't employ God's Word. We can't live God's Word unless we have a firm commitment to follow it. So he says this, he says, I hate vain thoughts. Actually, the word for vain here means to be half-hearted. You can extend it to talk about being double-minded. You know, it's hard to work on a team when not everybody is pulling the same way. How can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. And so the psalmist here is saying, hey, there's a lot of half-hearted people around here, and I don't like them. Remember Christ, when he gave the message to Laodicea? He says, I wish you were what? Hot or cold, not lukewarm, because don't know what you are. Half-hearted people, you don't know if they're on your side today or not. They're double-minded. They're fickle. And James 1:8 says that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. They can't be depended upon. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. When you go into the gospel half-hearted, when you go into God's truth half-hearted, you can be steered away from it. You could be drawn off by it. And in Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the what? Sleight of man. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. See, apathy and half-heartedness is a problem. And it will spread like a cancer. And you know what you do? We hate cancer, right? We hate something that's pulling us back. And that's what he's saying here in the first part of this. He says, I have a firm commitment to your word. Because I'm surrounded by the half-hearted. Folks, it's time to have revival. It's time to be on fire and have our eyes single and our whole body full of light that we're following God's word wholeheartedly. He has a firm commitment to the word, and that firm commitment to the word happens when you are surrendered to the word. He says, but thy law do I what? Love. It's a very strong statement here. He says, I hate this and I love this. I hate what God hates and I love what God loves. In Psalm 119, verse 57, we've already seen this. He says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word. This issue for love means also to keep. In Psalm 119, verse 101, last week, or 2 weeks ago, I have refrained my feet from what? Every evil way that I might keep thy word. Folks, there's too many half-hearted Christians today. They'll take a piece of God's word and say, I like that piece and I'll do it. But I don't like this piece, I'm not going to do it. And you're double-minded. And you're unstable. And you're not going to have a firm commitment. And you're not going to be fully surrendered because you're not. And the psalmist says, hey, there's too much of this stuff going on. I hate it all. Let's get down to God's word. So the first point on refuge in God is that he has a firm commitment to the word. In verse 114, he says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. The second point is he has found a hiding place. So he has a firm commitment. He has a found hiding place. You know, there's people looking for answers all the time. Look at God's word. There's people for security all the time. Look at God's word. Amen. I have so much trouble. I try to do it this way. Look to God. He is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in time of what? Trouble. He says here, thou art my hiding place and my shield. It is a place that will bring help. In Psalm 32, verse 7, it says, thou art my hiding place. Now here's the issue. God's not your heart hiding place until you make it your hiding place. You have to have a firm commitment. You have to be surrendered to the word. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of what? Deliverance. Selah. So he has found a hiding place that will bring help. He says, thou art my hiding place and my what? Shield. What does a shield do? It protects you. It protects you. Secondly, it says, I hope in thy word. You know, when you were a kid growing up, you probably had a secret place. You went there and you felt what? Secure. You know, sometimes we need to get apart. Christ himself went alone and got apart to be alone with God. He was secure there. He was secure there. And we need to have a hiding place that brings hope. We're trusted in so many things that don't bring hope. In Psalm 33, verse 22, it says, for thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we what? Hope in thee. The word for hope here means to wait. It means to wait. He's waiting for God to deliver him when he's in the hiding place. He's in the hiding place because he's not around people who are half-hearted. He surrendered to God's word. See how all this fits together? So the first thing is, it's a firm commitment to the word. In verse 1:14, he says he has a found hiding place. And then in verse 1:15, the faithless, he rejects. The faithless, he rejects. Look what he says. He says, depart from me, ye what? Evildoers. Remember what Nehemiah did when he started to rebuild the wall, and then all the other political agents of the day came to him and said, who gave you the right? Let's help. We'll help you. And what did Nehemiah say? You have no part in this. You're the enemy. You have no right. You have no part here. Folks, evil and light have no part together. He says here, depart from me, all ye what? Evildoers. Okay? He rejects the faithless in person. I don't want your persons around me. I don't want your companionship. I don't want your friendship. We don't agree. You know, this is also in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. You know why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communication or evil relationships corrupt good manners. Earlier, later on in 1 Corinthians says, you have no fellowship with Belial. You have no fellowship with darkness. You have no fellowship. Folks, the only way that that's going to happen is if you get rid of the evildoers. You may have to work with them in life, but they're not your friends. It's not like Facebook, where everybody's a friend. No. They're not your friends, okay? So the psalmist says, depart from me, ye evildoers. You know why? Because you're doing me no good. At best, you're half-hearted. You're not surrendered to the word like I want to be surrendered. And I'm being held back. Think of that. So he rejects the faithless in person. Don't want to be around them. And also in purpose. He says, for I will keep the commandments of my God. The reality of it is, the others won't. The others won't. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, and have, everybody say this, no fellowship. You sound pretty radical tonight. Sound pretty fanatical. No. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. It's time for purity and holiness and righteousness in the house of God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them is what he was doing. Depart from me, ye evildoers. Get right, and we can talk. But if we're not walking the same way, okay? This is not like Mr. Rogers, where everyone's your neighbor. That's true. But there are, we need to walk together. We need to pursue righteousness. So in verses 1:13 through 1:15, we see refuge in God. Second point, verses 1:16 through 1:17, he has his reliance on God. Verse 116, he has a reliance on God to sustain him. He says, uphold me according to thy what?
Word.
Everything we see in here. Your word's a shield. Your word's a guard. Your word's a light. Your word's this. Uphold me to the... God's word is an active word. It does things. It's not something just to sit there and look at. It sustains. It sustains him through trials. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says here, though he fall, the same word is going to be used here, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So he says, uphold me according to thy word. Uphold me with your hand. And then here in the last day, he says, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. You know, in Psalm 22, it's a prophecy about Christ being on the cross. And what did they taunt at Christ? He saved himself, others he can't save. If he be the Son of God, let him come down. Let's see if God saves him. Let's see if Elijah saves him. And nothing happened. Why? Because the sky was dark. Because at that point, God had rejected his Son. Because he became sin for us. Also, Christ had to stay on the cross. But you know, sometimes we say that we have trust in something, and then time goes by, and it doesn't happen. And it makes you start a doubting. You know, I think of Abraham. You know, he gets the promise of having a kid. And years go by, and the promise is not fulfilled. God's word hadn't changed. God's promise hadn't changed. Just wanted to see how long Abraham was going to have in faith. And then Abraham messed up. Because why? Didn't think God was going to come through. Folks, this is the issue. God's never going to give up on us. And what God has promised is going to happen. It's going to happen in his timeline. With his resources at his bidding. We can't sit here and dictate to God, I want it now. This is not like instant potatoes. Okay? We wait. Okay? David experienced this. In Psalm 42 verse 10, he says, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? He's exactly where he needs to be. He's on the throne in heaven. He is still sovereign. He is still all-powerful. He's still creator. He just hasn't acted yet. But that doesn't mean I'm going to give up on him. That doesn't mean I'm not going to trust him. That I'm going to be ashamed of him. God's not going to give up on us. And that's what he says here. He says, let me not be ashamed of my hope. The psalmist is struggling here. He says, I want you to come in and intervene. How many times do we want God to intervene in our situation? It doesn't happen on our timeline. We get discouraged. He's still saying God.
Right.
Okay? We can't give up hope. Okay? So, he relies on God to sustain him through trials. He relies on God to sustain him through time. He says here, as I read it before, 42:10, he says, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, where's thy God? There's a lot of people say, well, he ain't going to work. Just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
What the Bible says is true.
Right.
What God says is true. So he has reliance on God to sustain him, and he's telling God, don't let me down. He has trust. How many times have you been let down by people? Our own family. We have a friend that what? Sticketh closer than a brother. So, relies on God's word to sustain him. He relies on God's word in 117 to support him. Hold thou me up, and I what? Shall be safe. Okay? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Christ gives a illustration about a wise man and a foolish man. And in Matthew 27, verses 24 through 25, he says, "Therefore, whosoever hearing these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." This issue on 117, "For hold thou me up," is the same thing as a foundation of a house that supports the weight of the house. The Bible says there's no other foundation laid than which is laid, who is what? Christ Jesus. He is our rock. He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. He's all those things. And David here is saying, "I know you're going to do it. You're not going to let me down. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. You trust in other things? Not going to work." And then he says, "And I shall have respect unto thy statutes continually." You know, when we see God's word work, it should make us hungry for more of God's word. To see God's word work some more, to make us more hungry for God's word. That's where he's coming from here. So he has reliance on God to sustain him. He has reliance on God to support him. Now there's a contrast here in verses 118 through 119. And the contrast is those who do not have respect for God. Those who do not love God. Those who have rejected God. And so in verse 118, we say basically two reasons. And God will reject these people. God will reject people who are living a lie. There are a lot of people that say, "I'm a believer," but they really aren't. There's a lot of people that say they're a Christian, and they're really not. There's a lot of politicians that say, "I'm working for you." No, they're not. They're working for themselves. Okay? They're living a lie, hoping that you would buy in on it. At best, they are half-hearted. But they're not into this. They haven't surrendered. They're not going to hold you up. They're not going to be a foundation. And it says here in verse 118, it says, "Thou hast trodden down all them that" what? "Err from thy statutes." In John chapter 15, verse 6, where Christ uses the illustration, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He says this, "If a man" what? "Abides in me." That's every day. That's just not a Sunday morning thing.
Right.
Or a Wednesday night thing. It's an every day. The inner man is renewed day by day. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned." So the first thing is they're living a lie. Oh, folks, don't live a lie. Know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then they make a lie. And here's what Christ says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it." What's the it? The new Jerusalem. The new heaven and the new earth. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, whether whatsoever worketh abomination or what? Maketh of lie." Verse 18, 118 says, "For their deceit is falsehood." They're making a lie. "But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." If you're living a lie, you're rejecting God, and on your death day, when you go into eternity, you will be rejected by God.
Yes.
If you're making a lie, You will be rejected by God. Period. The result is found in verse 119. He says, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross." Okay, so what is dross? When you purify a metal, what do? You heat it up. Okay? And all the non-metal floats to the top because metal is heavier than the non-metal. And then back then they took a paddle and they scraped it off. You know where that went out to? It went out to the slag pile. It's good for nothing. Okay? Good for nothing. You can't build with it. You can't make anything out of it. It's just worthless. It's worthless. He says, "Thou hast trodden them." Okay, he says, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like what? Dross." Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, resist the what? Truth. Men of what? Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall what? Proceed no further." God's going to our God is a refining fire. He's a refining fire. "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto what? All men, as theirs also was." You're not going to get away with living a lie. You're not going to get away with making a lie. Let yet your yea be yea and your nay, nay. We're supposed to live uprightly and truthfully and righteously and all those things. And he says, "Therefore I love thy testimonies." So we see he finds a refuge in God. We see he relies on God. He has reliance on God. He doesn't want to be rejected by God like those who have rejected God, because they're going the wrong way. And so lastly, in verse 120, he shows reverence for God. He says two things here. He says, "My flesh," or my humanity, okay, "trembleth for fear of thee. And I am afraid of thy judgment." Folks, I think it's time to get a clear view of who God is. Amen. He is the most holy, most high, most powerful, most awesome, most righteous, most truthful, most gracious, most loving God. He needs respect. We need to have respect for God's presence. And if you are God's, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Where do you take God? If you take God to some place that's not in alignment with the Bible, you're mocking Him. You're mocking Him. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, when people got visions of who God really is, they were fearful. They were trembling. They fell down. Isaiah 6, verse 5. When he sees God, he says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Oh, how I want to see, I want to see him, look upon his face. Yes. But Hebrews says this, If you know who God is and you reject Him, you have no fear for Him, and therefore all that's coming is fiery judgment. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is not the man upstairs. He's not all these things that the world puts tags on Him. He is God. He is Jehovah. He's Creator. You wouldn't be here without Him. We wouldn't have the Bible without Him. He's all things for us. We need to have respect for God's Word. You know, David said it tonight about sweet hour prayer. What do you let get in the way of reading God's Word? Or being alone with God? Or getting into your hiding place and seeing Him hold you up and trusting in Him? You need to have respect for God's presence. Lastly, in verse 120, it says, "And I am afraid of thy judgment." Now, the issue for trembling, in Job 4:5, it talks about the hair standing up on your arm. That's what it really gives a picture of. Okay? The issue for "I'm afraid," it's just basically be scared out of your mind. Okay? We need to have regard for God's principles. That's reverence for God. At 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, I mean, chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, for what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter," because God got a hold of them. And they respected God's Word. And it changed them. And they became holy. And they got rid of the evildoer. He repented. See, you have to have regard for God's principles. "I am afraid of thy judgments. I'm afraid of your precepts." Because they are weighty. They are weighty. Now, to truly reverence God, you need to do one thing. You need to return the love that God has given you. I'll close with this. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have" what? "Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as..." "As He is, so are we in this world." That's what He's saying here in this 15th stanza of Psalm 119. I need to be like You, God. I need to be what Your Word says I need to be. I need to act in accordance to Your Word. "Here is our love made perfect, that we may be bold, we have boldness of the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." There is no fear in love. "But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." You know, if you're living a lie, you have torment. If you're making a lie, you have torment. If you know what to do is good and you're doing the wrong thing, you should have torment. And if you don't have torment, you're reprobate concerning the faith. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We love Him because He first loved us. So tonight, are we rejecting or are we accepting Him? Only you know what the answer is. But we need to make God's Word paramount in our life. We need to make God, give Him His rightful place in our lives. And then we can be like the psalmist here. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to read Your Word. Father, help us to be more like You. Father, that your will is that we be conformed to the same image. Lord, I just ask and just encourage us tonight that you work in our hearts, Lord. That you clear off the dross in our life, Lord. And that we walk out of here renewed and revived. Lord, have your will and way in this invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.